In the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, we give you glory, we elevate you, we magnify you. We ask that you set your feet in our midst tonight and uproot from the very roots any such tree that you have not planted. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You are welcome once again. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Matthew. Okay, let's look at Luke first. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. The word of concern to me in this scripture is the word also. Because the scripture says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. So my concern is why also was used in that scripture. Because when we say also, it is a common ground of comparison. We're comparing it with a previous time where functionaries were dispatched. So because of the use of the word also, we might need to go to the book of Luke chapter 9 to see the previous time where guys were dispatched, because this current dispatch is consistent with the previous dispatch, and that's why the word also was used. So if we go to the book of Luke chapter 9, we see the original dispatch service, ceremony. And then we'll now take inventory on how that ceremony took place. And maybe we'll now understand why he used also in chapter 10. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, then he called his disciples together and gave them power and authority. You see, the significant thing about this dispatch committee was that they were equipped with kingdom utensils to be able to represent God. The reason for which man was created in the image of God is so that he can carry God's authority and fulfill God's dominion mandate for him. Man cannot be understood outside of God's kingdom administration. The only way we can interpret and understand man is within the construct of God's kingdom administration, because man is supposed to be kingdom personnel. And so when we look at the theological terminology called the fall of man, what exactly did man lose when he decided to break faith with God and to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What did he lose? Was it his spouse that he lost? Because if it's his spouse that was lost, then we need to put him through Johannesburg School of Business. I saw one billboard. I saw a business school there. So humankind will need to pass through Johannesburg School of Business, because what he lost in Eden was his spouse. So what he lost in Eden was his capacity, the invitation that God was given to him to come participate in his kingdom. The Bible speaks about prayer, but it's not a book of prayer. The Bible speaks about holiness, but it's not a book of holiness. The Bible speaks about prosperity, but it's not a book of prosperity. The Bible is the book of the kingdom. I forgot my diary, because I summarized the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in my diary. It will take me 45 minutes to read it. Yes, from Genesis. I would know the meaning of Genesis, the meaning of Exodus, the meaning of Leviticus, the meaning of Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. So I did a research and I summarized the Bible. Yes, it's there. From thread to thread, it's about the kingdom. You cannot understand why God would want to create man if not that what will satisfy God was that he wanted two homes, and man was going to be the personality that will bring his presence, bring his glory, bring his system of administration and government into the physical creation. God decided to create a deliberate handicap for himself by restricting himself to the realm of the spirit. But the Bible says in the book of John chapter 4 verse 24 that God is spirit. He decided to restrict himself. And the reason why he decided to restrict himself was because of man. You are a vessel. I hope you know that. Your spirit was created as an accommodation for an entity. So God restricting himself to the spirit realm was because of you. Because if God wants to operate in the natural, what he will do is that he will wear you, wear your spirit. Because your spirit is a one-bedroom accommodation. Wear your spirit. So you become the one that carries him around, so he can still extend his influence of government, his style, his everything into this realm. It is in that, for that reason, that man was created in the image of God. Every other thing was created after their kind. But man was created in the image of God and in the likeness of God, because he had to have God's image in order for him to have God's authority. He had to be in God's likeness in order for him to have capacity to represent God. So you cannot, man is not original. Every other thing in creation is original in themselves, but man is not original in himself, because man was created after the image of another. Man was created after the likeness of another. So if you want to know how well you are doing as a man, take your Bible and study God. If you are not behaving like God, if you are not operating like God, if your style is not like that of God, it means you have accepted that you are man of man. You have not accepted that you are man of God. Are you following? These are preambles. I'm just trying to see if my message is approved. That's why I'm saying all this. We have not started teaching the Bible. Just to. So as I'm speaking, then the Holy Ghost will say, stop, then I stop. Or you can say, ride on. Then. Because anything you do without recourse to God, it means you have decided to accept Adam as your model. And Adam is the rebel. Adam is dissociated from God. Adam is operating apart from God. Adam is a menace. Adam cannot be improved upon. Adam is only good to die, because the only thing he's good at is to rebel. And that's why the first message of the kingdom is repent for all humankind, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So in the book of Luke chapter 9, God now finds men that are willing to begin to learn. They were going through lessons, recalibration, to understand how they were supposed to operate. So Jesus was teaching them that you cannot operate effectively without some utensils. In order for you to exercise the dominion mandate, you will need the utensil called power. You will need the utensil called what? Authority. Without power and authority, you will be a laughing stock. Without power and authority, it will be difficult to know who sent you. Without power and authority, you will not have the capacity to back up your claims with things that are beyond the mind. And so the Bible says this day came when God called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach. What was the message in verse 2? The kingdom of what? God. Can you see? He's teaching them how to function as men. And the message that they'll preach everywhere they go is the message of the kingdom of God. Then when you preach the message of the kingdom of God, after preaching that message, the message has a practical aspect. Because if you just finish preaching and you close your Bible and say, let us share the grace, you are guilty of insufficient witness. So when you finish preaching the kingdom of heaven, then you now heal the sick, you cleanse the lepers, and what? You raise the dead. So if we are saying in the second dispatch committee that he sent 70 also, the first time it was 12. Second time it was 70. So you'll be expecting that Jesus would have said, oh, our ministry is growing. The first time we sent 12 missionaries, and now we've advanced. There's something exponential in our community. I was expecting him to speak like a Pentecostal pastor. Instead, what he said was emotional. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. That's what he said. That's too emotional. In his eyes, the increase in sending capacity was too insignificant to be an object of celebration. And when we talk about sending capacity, what we are talking about is that God's delight is not sitting capacity. God's delight is sending capacity. So, are you there? I know the pride of a pastor is that, you see, 15,000 people came, of which only 3 can be sent. So the emotional, the depression of Jesus is still in view. Oh, wherefore he said, the harvest truly is plenteous. So he's looking at the functionaries vis-a-vis the harvest. So we sit 15,000 people, and only 3,000 among them can be sent. Jesus is still crying. There's a deficit in missionary manpower. There's a gap in missionary potential, because the average believer comes to church with the philosophy, the idea that we come to sit. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying we come to get equipped so that we can be deployed. We can be deployed to Alex. We can be deployed to Soweto. We can't be deployed to Cosmos. We can't be deployed to Limpopo. The mentality of the people of God in our generation will need to experience a shift. Because God is not gaining from our inactiveness. God is not gaining. There is no profit that is coming to the kingdom when people are not equipped enough to be able to go forth. There is a fire that can come upon us. There's a fire. But you see, if that fire comes, it will translate to no kingdom profit if we receive the fire and we get it. For how long have you been sitting? Just take an inventory of yourself. How long? You've not been able to enter into Alex City. Alex. Oh my God. The first time I came to Botswana, I went to Soweto. I went to Alex. I want to go to, I don't want to go to the normal places. You want Kempton Park. What's there? There's nothing there. Kingdom people who operate with a spent mentality. If a witch is sent here to destroy me, the witch will want to be close to my friends, Pastor Jimmy, Pastor K, so that through them the witch can have access to destroy me. Nobody can be as wise as someone that has a sent mentality. When we say you are apostolic, what we mean, because are you there? You are not following. 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 Now, do you realize that Jesus did not raise a teacher, even one. He didn't raise any prophet. He didn't raise one pastor. The only people Jesus raised were apostles. Think about it. Think first. Think. I know you have not thought about it. Just think. Think about it first. Then I will explain why. Someone was called a prophet 8 years after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Someone, Philip, was called an evangelist 8 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. You know why? The church was supposed to have apostolic orientation and apostolic DNA. It is the apostolic office that wants to colonize. It wants to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. What we call the Great Commission was actually an apostolic commission. It was only given to 12 men. Because the grace, the burden upon the apostolic man is to bring profit to the kingdom of God. I've seen your theaters. I've seen your centers. Places where church meetings are held. The big ones that you speak about for 1 year. All we take inventory of is seating capacity. Not sending capacity. The apostle is the one that goes forth in the name of the Lord. And he needs to travel with a sent mentality. When you come to an office, they say, okay, this is UN. If you go there with a sent mentality, you will see the weaknesses of the entire system and how to exploit it for God in 1 month. The sent mentality guides your eyes to see how you can begin to fulfill that mandate of extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God within your context, within your location, within your place of assignment. You've been somewhere for 12 years, you've not been able to influence it because you lost your sent mentality. The first attack that came to the church in the book of Acts was that the church wanted to exchange her apostolic DNA to take on a pastoral DNA. And that's what has happened to our generation. Yeah. That was when the apostles were tempted to begin to serve tables, to begin to meet human needs. Instead of to build capacity so that the kingdom of God will have men that have the balls, the capacity to traverse the land and to make disciples of all nations. That was the first temptation that the church had to face. To make the church an air-conditioned place where everyone just comes and is looking so fine and we talk nice things. Pastoral care. We talk nice things. The emphasis is customer care, is marketing and management. That's the concept of church we have today. It was drawn from the secular scope of things. It's a corporate perspective. Management, marketing, customer care, that kind of stuff. People are there to greet you as you come there. Oh, you're welcome. Hallelujah. You're welcome. I know you had a very terrible day, but you are in the house of God. Glory to God. All of that are machinations to foster seating capacity. And Jesus is not concerned about how many people you seat. The impact of your calling is how many people you have raised that can stand in the cold and still say, I serve Jesus. Because this is a day of compromise. Any little pressure, the person breaks. Say, yes, I'm depressed. So we need to deploy counselors like Pastor K that can sit for 6 hours trying to recover you. It's not apostolic. He gave us the apostolic DNA so that the entire church will operate with a saint mentality. We know that we need all the believers in order to take all the world. Everyone has a part, has a place, has a percentage. So what we are trying to do in this conference is to transform sitting capacity to sending capacity. And that's the reason why we are bringing the issue of power. Because when you are sitting on the table, you are sitting with your knife and fork, you don't need the gifts of the Spirit there. Yeah, you just have a knife and fork, that's your cutlery. Because it's time to eat. Thank God two doctors are here, because we need to find out what happens to someone that eats and he can't release what he's eating. Wherefore he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Do you hear the echo of his voice in our generation? He's still saying that today. Oh my God, the harvest of South Africa is plenteous. The laborers are few. Not preachers, laborers. We have too many preachers, no laborers. How I wish, he said, the preachers at you. South Africa would have been on one of the graph would have been up there, because everybody is a preacher in South Africa. The one that believes in polygamy is a preacher. The one that believes that adultery can be accommodated with preaching is also a preacher. The one, there are many preachers. But unfortunately, it's not looking for preachers. Looking for laborers. For instance, have you really labored in the Word of God, this book? How many years of your life did you delete to study this book? How much of this book do you know? How many covenants are in this book? Do you know how many covenants? Yeah? Yes? I saw your hand up, you see. Okay, five covenants. Yes, you are right. There are five covenants in this book. Mention the first one. Then you heard my message. It's my message you heard. So I wanted to try. I know he heard my sermon. And he said, he has not studied. It's my sermon he heard. I'm the one that studied. Have you studied this book? Have you labored here? Have you labored in doctrine to know the mind of God, to know how to administer his estate, to know how to take care of his business? People claim that they are laboring for him, but they don't know his counsel. No ignorant man can labor for a spirit that you cannot see. Don't claim that you are laboring for him when you have not studied him. Your husband that you can see, you don't know him. And then it's God that you cannot see. You say you are preaching for him when you have not studied in his book. The average believer doesn't understand the concept of labor. That part of your life will be spent given in exchange of things that you will receive from the spirit realm. Do you labor there? From back to back, how many times have you read it? I'm not saying understand it, read. You were able to read enough to get your PhD. You have never read the Bible once, and you are a preacher, and you think what you are doing is labor? I know you are all educated. I know you. I know your school. I've seen your universities. They are wonderful. Great learning places. You have your master's degree. You are an engineer. Have you read this? How many times? So the average believer has not been taught the art of labor. Zeus, go and some of you should go back to the countryside and find how they train the Sangomas. Find how somebody becomes a witch. A ritual that it takes to become an original witch. Not a victim, not somebody that witchcraft is controlling. But a witch that is witch enough to start a coven by herself, by himself. Find out the ritual that it takes to make one. Because most of you sitting here, you cannot even be a witch. You can't be a witch. Yes, you cannot. Let me give you an insight. You know, I told Pastor Jim, I'm from the village. I'm a minister from the countryside. I'm not a city preacher. That's why I'm not too refined. Meanwhile, that was how Elijah was. I will never be too refined. Because the process I went through was rugged. It cries, the process, it screams in my veins. So at least I know how to become a witch in Ghana. Because I met with someone that was being groomed to be a warlock. When I say you are going to be groomed to be a warlock, his dad was one of the prime warlocks of Northern Ghana. When we say somebody's dad is a prime warlock, those are the people that other warlocks come to for years. Yes, he has established many altars, and those altars are submitted to his own altar. When he sleeps, he doesn't sleep with his back on the bed. No, he doesn't sleep with his back on the bed. And then he was training this young man for him to be able to wear the ring of power. Be taught what you need to do in order for you to be able to cast spells, the level of consecration, the level of discipline. And one of the levels of to be a warlock, you must be sexually pure. That's what I'm saying. Some people here cannot even be witches. You must, as a warlock, you must be sexually pure. You cannot sleep with a woman that you have not married. If you like her so much, marry her. Anything that can tap into your blood, like blood transfusion, all this kind of stuff, a warlock will never do it. Because if you have access to his blood, you can determine whether he lives or dies. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you survive the whole process, the ceremony, that the final ceremony for you, for the spirit of witchcraft to possess you, the final one, not the process, the final one, they will kill chicken. Kill a goat. Kill guinea fowl. Allow it to rot for 3 days. And cook okra soup with the rotten meat. They will cook pap. South African pap. And give you pap with okra soup. You eat it with the rotten meat that has been kept as rot for 3 days. If you eat that soup, and you vomit, it means you don't have the calling to be a witch. I'm not talking about people that are victims of witchcraft. I'm talking about witch, real witches. The ones that can do incantations and disappear. The demons will travel with their body. All we know how to do is to tell pastor we are depressed. We are depressed. We are not trained to labor. We are not trained to be able to stand up in the night. I said, Satan, I was sent into this region. It's either I die trying to serve Jesus or you will go out. So I am coming. Make sure we meet. Yes. You say that for 21 nights. That means you understand that death will be better than for me to fail. Paul did not say that I have attempted. Paul said, I finished my course. It is an attempt, you know, like I saw destiny and I came and I came and attempted to take hold of it. No. He said, I have finished my course. An apostolic personality doesn't attempt destiny. He faces destiny with an intention to finish. My life is not that precious. It's not that precious. Because all men will die. So if I die in the service of God, oh, how brilliant will my resurrection be. That's why I'm not afraid of your gone. I'm not afraid of prisons. I'm not afraid because I came to labor and not to preach. If you put me in prison, I may not be preaching, but I will still be laboring. Oh my God. I'm stronger on my knees than I am on the pulpit. So if I can still speak in tongues, there are many wicked men that will not wake up tomorrow. Oh! Asima Abelome. You must understand labor. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he might send preachers. He's tired of preachers. That he might send laborers. Laborers. Into his harvest. You have not developed enough discipline to even be a Sangoma. Because if you are operating with the spirit of divination, you must know how to design seasons, windows. You must understand how to use a scepter, a totem, the implication of marks, the implication, marks that watchers can stand on. You must know what a dream catcher is. Those are tools of divination. It's because Jesus. There is no Sangoma that lacks knowledge of their priesthood. But we don't know the will of Jesus. And we say we are preaching him. He's not looking for preachers, he's looking for laborers. People that can extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. People that can establish his government. Every time you see that in your scripture, thy kingdom come, the meaning of that statement is a declaration of war. Because it involves the displacement of the ruling principality. There is nothing about the kingdom that is casual. So if you end up becoming casual, I don't know what sound you heard. Because the sound that is beating now is a sound of war. Sound of war. The sound of war. Only my wife can be my wife. Only her. On this earth. Only her. You don't know what it means to marry a warrior. Someone that is consumed by God. Someone that he can tap in the night and say, stand up. It's war. And you will fight for 70 nights. You don't even have a say. That's what it means to labor. You wanted to sleep, to stretch yourself. It was cold. You still remember how cold it is in the night. So you want to stretch and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then you say, Wake up. Wake up now. Then you don't want to wake up. Then he takes the sleep away. Then you just be on the bed. Say, I say, wake up. He said, we will fight for 70 nights. And I've also woken up all your comrades in all the nations of Africa. And in the stroke of a general assembly, you will wade off a band of devils that want to invade the continent for 70 nights. And then you wake up for the first night. After doing 3 hours in the night, he releases you from the retention. You go back to sleep. You wake up with a migraine. And you are trying to treat it. You take some pills and all of that. You sleep in the night again. By 12 midnight, he comes. You say, whoa. That's what it means to labor. Laboring, it takes you beyond your will, your choice. It is that kind of exercise that is so uncompromising. If you can stand with it, then you will understand what it means when he says he needs laborers. Not friends. Not people that come to gossip. But people that are willing to put their hands on the plow and not to look back. And that's why the numbers did not grow exponentially. It started with 7. And then the next time there was a recruiting, it was just 70. Because people, the guys knew it was labor. And no one wants to sign up for labor. Guess what? When Jesus comes to take inventory of our lives, what he checks is labor. He doesn't check platform. How big your platform you could gather South Africa. What's the name of that, your biggest arena? What's it called? The very big one. What? Okay. FMB Stadium. So you stand on it and then the crane... crane camera will just take inventory of the heads like this. Wow. People say, he feels the place. And when inventory is taken, the size of your platform will not be captured. What will be captured is labor. Labor is a leveling denominator. That's when you will see people in the caves of Limpopo that never showed up on Facebook, that never had an Instagram account, but they were laboring. Nobody knew, but they were the reason why darkness never fell on South Africa. Their names will pop up when labor is the denominator that will define men. You'll be expecting the big names, and heaven will just forget those names. Because all they had was a platform. They were never registered on the list of labor. The harvest indeed is plenteous. But the laborers are few. And Jesus is giving the same laborers a prayer point. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest. That's the prayer point he's giving to laborers, not to members. They know what it means to labor. And they know how their ranks have depleted. So he gives them a prayer. Cry to the Lord of the harvest. That he might send forth laborers into his harvest. When last did you pray that prayer? If you have not prayed that prayer recently, it's because you don't know labor. It's only laborers that know the need for that prayer. In your eyes, you believe everything is okay because we have the stadium packed full. Our music ministers are nightingale singers. We're all on white. We look like angels. So, okay, that's what you are counting as the great deeds that you have done. But there's no labor in it. If Jesus has a problem, can he count on you? Can he come and inconvenience your life so that he can be relieved of his body? Is your life that platform that he can come and empty upon? Then you willingly take on that which troubles him and say, Jesus, you can go sleep. I'll take it from here. Has he ever come to you like that? Has he ever come to you and asked you, empty your bank account and throw everything into Kingdom Embassy? There's something that I'm doing there and I want it funded. If he cannot come into your life and ask, give you an instruction, you are not among believers. Let me show you a sign. Acts chapter 1. Give me Acts chapter 1 verse 1 on the board. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, wait. Next one. Verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them. It will interest you to know what's going on in the book of Acts chapter 1 is that Jesus is organizing a capacity building program for his apostolic personalities that will be responsible for extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. That's what is happening in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. I don't have time for this because any day we come to talk about the Acts of the Apostles, that's when I will open that scripture. Because we need to compare the lecture that the apostles received with the quality of our own apostles today. That's a reference point for the apostolic. I know you are not with me. So because you are not with me, we'll just close up. We'll close this up and then just continue with, where did we stop? Luke chapter 10. Close that up. Close it up. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles that he had chosen. What did he do to the apostles that he chose? He gave them what? Commandments. So if he's not giving you commandments, he has not chosen you. Because every apostle that he chooses, he doesn't come to advise them. What does he come to do to them? He gives them commandments. Like, wake up now! Has he ever come to give you commandments about your finances? Commandments about your sleep life? Commandments about the way you use money? Commandments about the way you use your eyes? Because for some of you, you are in your mind, you want your eyes to be here. Or the eyes, this side is firstly this. It's this side. And you're already moving, but the eyes is not moving along. The eyes is running. The software that governs the eyes is no longer in compliance. It's just... He gives commandments unto the apostles that he had chosen. And it's only those that he had chosen that he shows himself alive to. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he seeks laborers. And what he does to laborers is that he gives them power and authority. Okay? Luke chapter 10. Sitting capacity must transform to sending capacity. The end time church is supposed to be apostolic and prophetic, and what that means, that those my terminologies, what they mean is that you must have a sent mentality. The mentality of the sent one. So that any city, any location, any office that you walk, if you walk into that place with the sent mentality, you begin to know what you can do for Jesus to take over the entire office. What you have seen in the office, you inform your prayer point. And your goal is that Jesus must be pedestal at the king here. His kingdom must come. His will must be done. And those of us that are in government, that is where your altar is, the gate unto which you are appointed. Because everyone that is a priest must understand the dimension of the spirit that powers his reality. He must also know the gate unto which he has been appointed. My constituency is the body of Christ. I speak to the body. I do not speak to a denomination. My voice is not a denominational voice. You can't put it there. It can't stay. It was meant to be on the platform of the body of Christ. That's my constituency. That's where my warfare is. That's where my battles come from. That's where my encouragement comes from. That's where my supplies come from. It comes from the gate to which you are appointed. If you are appointed to the gates of government, that's where your troubles will come from. That's where your warfare will come from. If you cannot describe, you cannot define, you cannot analyze your warfare, it means you are not a priest. You are just rolling. You are a rolling stone, living day after day, living for pay. What you are doing is that your job is your life. Meanwhile, God gave you work before you were born. There's a difference between your work and your job. Your job pays you salaries. Your work will pay you rewards. For he said, the harvest indeed is plenteous. The laborers are few. How I wish I had time. Because from verse 3 of Luke chapter 10, it begins to give them marching orders. I don't have time to analyze the marching orders. Because the marching orders is for laborers. If we have not yet become laborers, there's no need for us to read that. So we are going to jump all the marching orders because I'm not sure we are laborers yet. When it becomes very certain that this is a camp of laborers. The messages that we can take, the revelations we can handle, will be yet deeper than what I'm saying. That's when I will show you that the civilization called heaven hangs on 12 pillars. If those pillars are not built in your life in time, you will suffer loss in eternity. So, but we cannot go into that level of talk. It's for laborers. When we are sure that everyone is a laborer, then we can talk like kingdom men and women. Then you'll find out why Paul leaves one man, Titus, in the whole city of Crete, and then gives him instructions of how to appoint elders. He comes to Crete, and all he does is that he leaves his small boy and says, take over this city, and then appoint elders as I appointed you. So that when I come, I want to see the elders. And he walks away, a young boy. Young boy. It was to him that Paul says, he that desires the office of the bishop desires a good work. And the bishopric was not a title, it was a work. It's a work. That's the name for laborers. That thing called bishopric. But today is a title. And then you put a cap here. And say, Ebenezer, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Ebenezer. I don't want to make too many enemies. Let me Let me be quiet. Oh my God. Imagine others from 3 to 16. Whenever we are sure that we are all laborers, that's when we'll start talking about the marching orders. The marching orders will not make meaning to you if you are not a laborer. Because one of the marching orders that is that when you enter into the territory, you look for the son of peace. Anywhere he's sending you to, there's a son of peace in that land. And you will need to find him. You need to partner with him. It is only when you have found the son of peace that you will not shake the dust on your sandal against that city on the day of judgment. I know you don't know the meaning of that. So there's no need for us to go there. That's why I asked you, do you read your Bible? It's obvious Africa doesn't read her Bible. Because the way we have portrayed our God is not according to knowledge. Are you still with me? Okay, for the sake of the laborers in our midst, I can see some laborers. Yes, I can see a few. For their sake, I will read one point. One point, just the first point. He said, take nothing for your journey. Why? Neither staves, nor scrip. Neither bread, neither money. Neither two coats apiece. I know your security ministry is money, how much you have in the bank account. But for laborers, they don't need money to be able to do their job. Right? A laborer does not need money to do his job. He can do his job without money. Oh, but you need money to do your job. That's why you are not a laborer. You need 5 million rand so that the intercontinental ballistic missile that you contacted from Bible school can take 2 cities. The effort that is called labor in this presentation is superior to money. It's when you begin to labor that you will not need money. You don't need money before you begin to labor. If you check the first instruction, you will discover that a laborer is first grounded in faith, in his capacity to believe God, before he qualifies to become a laborer. What's your faith life like? If you leave your church now and you go to Limpopo, can you build a church as big as the one you are pastoring now, where the circumstances are ever different from your current location? If you don't have that power, you are not an apostle. Because in my own experience, anytime I break a land and conquer it, and I stretch myself, I get waterbed to lie down. Jesus will cry to me that night and say, take your things and your wife and move. He had never allowed me to enjoy any victory. And you move to a place where you need to begin to exercise faith. Again, the only currency that a laborer has is the ability to trust God. It is because we lack the ability to trust God that we have employed all kinds of manipulations to get money. Say, take no pause, so that you will not think it's about money. How strong is your faith? Can it move the hand of God? We're going to London, they say. London is not like Africa. When you get there, you will need more than prayer. I laughed. It is prayer that I prayed that I survived death. This man. Death came. It is that prayer that defeated it. And that's why I defeat it anytime I see it on people. It came to me first. I said, no, when you get to London, you will know that the guys in the United Kingdom don't give money. The pound is strong. Oh my. By the time we finished quarantine, now that was when there was COVID. So we did 10 days quarantine. And I came out of my storehouse, having prayed in the Holy Ghost. Oh my Jesus. We came out on the streets. People were kneeling down and giving us money. On the streets. Because you want to start with money, there are currencies in the spirit that a laborer must know before he knows money. If not, you will worship money and call it your God. You will confuse the gold head for the Godhead. Nobody wants to go to Limpopo. Everybody is in Kempton Park. And we are all smiling. We are smiling, all is good. So the guys in Limpopo, in the countryside, they are not good enough for Jesus. They should serve the idols and the gods and the ancestors. That's what happens when our God becomes mammon. We see ourselves within a certain class and we lose the privilege of becoming laborers. We lose that privilege. I build my muscles in the spirit. I learned how to cast out devils in the countryside. Witches will haunt you in the night. I learned how to ward off witches and warlocks and wizards. And many of them were my relatives. That's how I became a radical. They killed my dad. I saw him die. That was the man. That was the great mind. They cut him off. So I left and I said, I will never return until I find Jesus. The one that I gave my soul, now he needs to defend me from darkness. The darkness was so strong. And the necromancers have a parable that if you still drink water and if your feet touches the ground, you cannot defeat a necromancer. Oh, there are no watchmen as powerful as necromancers. That the ones that commune with the dead, no watchmen are as powerful as them. Once you come from a family, you have a bloodline, you'll be found. The only way for you not to be found, don't drink water. Keep your stomach empty of water. If water enters your stomach, you appear on the radar. Whether you are in New York, you are in Lusaka, or you are in Limpopo. That's why we are weak. You don't know what warfare is. You don't know what spiritual knowledge is. You don't know what it means to mount up with wings like eagles. I fought death before. I know its weakness. You cannot. I know how long I will live. And until that day, I will never fall to the ground. Because no weapon that is formed against me shall be able to prosper. Many weapons were formed before. And even as I speak to you now, I saw one that somebody was forming today. I went in search of Jesus in a city called Kano. I prayed and fasted on the mountains. I will leave work with my tie. I climbed the mountain till 12 midnight. And I did that on a daily basis. With fasting. Some days no food at all. Some days I will eat 11 in the night. I was looking for God. A God that was not theory. A God that you don't explain through storybooks. And I was looking for a God that created the firmaments of the heavens. The one that was responsible for the foundations upon which the waters are contained. God of power. And I sought him. And I asked him to kill me if he will not come to me. The four angels he sent to pacify me. I brought them to South Africa. Those four angels. They came with me. They are here. They are the ones that touch people that they fall. He sent those four angels first. Show him that I'm not far away. Even though the angels came, he appeared later, 5 years later, after he sent the angels. I saw his face. was the one that called me to be an apostle. And I've seen the length and breadth of Africa. Because if you have not seen the land that you are ministering, you have no power over that land. There's nothing in Africa that can destroy me before my time. No men, no weapons, no blights, no disease, no epidemic. There are powers that can only be given to laborers. You want to be able to defend your family from the darkness, become a laborer. Identify with the struggle of your, of that family by becoming an intercessor, the prophet of the family. You pay prices that you don't tell anybody. Wake up in the night and begin to call the names of people that you cannot go to hell. You will find salvation. Today, your friend is marijuana. Tomorrow, your friend will be Jesus. Yes. Labor. Then let's know, how many years have you labored? When you begin to labor, then God will come to you. He will creep to you and give you secrets and commandments. That's when you will know what it means to have true power. True power. True power. He said, take no scrip. Take no pots. Take no money. Take only one pair of shoes. Because my people in the wilderness, the clothes that they left from Egypt were the only clothes they had for 40 years. And it grew on their feet. They left Egypt, it was size 12. After 2 years, it became size 13. And it became, oh, you don't know. That was the impact of the manna that they ate. I know you don't know that. Because one of the civilizations of heaven is food. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him so that he can eat with me. I will eat your food so that you can eat our food. There's food in heaven. You can eat that food on earth. Because the children of Israel ate that food on earth. It was the same food from heaven that an angel brought to Elijah that made him walk 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Oh, you're not with me. Let me leave you. That's why I said there are kingdom things that we can't talk about. It will be as if it's no longer Christianity. We have entered. So let's say where you can be comfortable. I was detained for one decade to learn the word of God so that I could think in scriptures and be a witness to the truth that is found therein. Hallelujah. My friends are few. Only the ones that believe in the Bible, from the first page to the last page. Yes, there are few. Men of the book. Men that know his counsel. Because when sons talk, and they talk about the things of God, oh, they that fear the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16, they speak one unto another. You need to have been drowned in the book before you can be given some revelations about the things of God. Go and get drowned. And when we have so much truth in the body of Christ, falsehood will die a natural death. Let us jump. Jump with me. Still remain in Luke chapter 10, but jump to verse 17. Luke 10:17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. So the guys that were sent out, the functionaries, the laborers that were sent out into cities, towns, and villages, they were back in verse 17. I'd like us to take inventory of their testimony. Because every laborer will have kingdom testimonies. Every laborer. You might be giving testimonies of your Range Rover that you were able to get Rolls Royce. That on the streets of Johannesburg, the car floats. That's the testimony you bring to church on Sunday morning. But these guys, this is the kind of testimonies they have. It's different from... In fact, what they are saying now will not make for a testimony in our time. No one will be given time to share this kind of story on a Sunday morning. Because our churches are no longer churches for laborers. Our churches are society churches, where the stature of a meeting will be reckoned with if a parliament member attends the service. Then it's part of the spies. That we are really, our voice is really beginning to influence society. We have someone from the parliament, someone from the judiciary in our company. So, and in that kind of setting, you won't share this kind of testimony. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils. Now, you know, the emphasis there is the word even. What's the meaning of even? It means so many things were subject to us, including the devils. Check the Greek word for devils in your lexicon. Because it's not just talking about minions. There's a particular personality that he's talking about in that scripture. I hope you know the utensils with which they made them submit. It was power and what? Authority.
Dominion.
Let me hear you again.
Dominion.
Actually, the actual pronunciation is diamonion. Even the diamonion was subject to us. In your name. And that was their testimony.
The divine power, deity, and divinity.
Yes, I'm going to explain the meaning of diamonion in a moment of time. Right? So, are you still following what I'm talking about? Are you with me here? If you're still with me, say amen, amen. Amen. So, the testimony that these functionaries have is twofold. And the guys that Jesus sent out only had one part of the testimony. This is what they have shared. Even the diamonion was subject to us in your name. That was proof of the fact that the authority they had was valid. So the kingdom testimonies they shared was on the basis of the validity of the authority that they wielded. When last did the diamonion hear your voice? Because the diamonion is not our concern these days, you know. In fact, in a conference, a big conference, very big conference, the first speaker just came and said, let us assume that Satan does not exist. And the moment he's no longer in our mind, he will not exist to us. I knew that we have shifted camp, that we're no longer Christians. So I just took my I left out of the Satan no longer exists. Jesus never kept us in doubt as to the presence of Satan. Faith does not deny the mountain. Faith acknowledges mountains. Oh, you're not with me. You're not with me. I know you. You know the reason I'm saying what I'm saying? I'm saying this because you can no longer continue living like this. It's wrong for you to continue living like this. For the diamonion, they were subject to us in your name. How come our Christianity doesn't affect the diamonion? It's not part of the things that is our troubles. More houses, more funds, more impact, more visibility, more TV stations, more likes, more views, no diamonium. I just want you to evaluate your pursuit. Because that's what you want, more likes. I got 7,000 likes. Jesus. Angels will be confused. What's wrong with this man? What's wrong? So what's his problem? Let me show you the second side of the testimony before we begin our lecture for the night. Next verse. Whenever you come for our meetings, don't come with your watch. We have a time here for everybody. We have a general time. It's okay. All right? It's here. And according to that time, we'll work with that time. Not with your own time. What I'm saying is, please come ready to tarry. Not to come and do fast food. McDonald's. KFC. Huh? Nando's. Oh my God. I don't know. South Africa makes me laugh. I don't laugh. Please. The testimonies have two sides. The first testimony was told by the guys that went on the field, and they said, even the Diamonion were subject to us in your name. That's the first side of the testimony. Then Jesus was in the control room. He was managing the entire field work in the place of prayer. Yeah, he didn't go with them. He was managing the back end of the software. He was managing. And this was his own testimony. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from him. So these are the two scriptures that forms our talk this evening. Even the Diamonion were subject to us in your name. So our job is to take care of the Diamonion, and Jesus will take care of. No, not just Satan. He will take care of the beings that are in the heavenlies. It's not your job to take care of the beings that are in the heavenlies. It is beyond the scope of your authority. I will prove it. Don't worry. I might say strange things, but I found them in the Bible. It's because you don't study. That's why you think they are strange. But don't worry. I have patience. I will show you from the Bible. Then you will know as I know. And probably with more insight before the Lord, you'll know more. The two sides of the coin. That's the message tonight. The two sides of the coin. And if you don't have this coin, you are not a laborer. There's an aspect of your labor that is you, of the labor that is you that will do it. There's an aspect of the same labor that is Jesus that will do it. In order for us to be able to analyze these scriptures adequately, we might need to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. See, the Lord has changed my message. You know, I came with a message, Jesus Christ. But I tried to test. Now, yes, it changed it to what I'm saying now. This is not, the thing I'm saying is not what I came to preach. But when I tested, this is, I don't know what is happening. Because this year, I tried to preach what I come to preach. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there are two types of strength that the believer has to have. First of all, in fact, the statement, be strong in the Lord, if you read it from the Greek rendering, actually means take advantage of the Lord. And I'm going to explain to us, if we have time, what it means to take advantage of the Lord. And then the second instruction is take advantage of the power that is resident in his might. When we say take advantage of the Lord, you need to take full inventory of the implication of the sufferings of Jesus, the prayers of Jesus, and the death of Jesus. Because it goes into the realm of the spirit as currency. And that's why the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All of that is currency. What's the difference between currency and money? Bitcoin is currency. It's not money. What's the difference? Oh, Jesus. Oh, then you don't have an idea. Okay. Let's leave that. It means you don't know currency. Anyone planning to try? Bitcoin, is it money? You can trade with Bitcoin. There are some hotels that you can use Bitcoin to pay for your accommodation. But it's not money. So what is it? Currency. So currency can be transformed to become money easily. It has the advantage of high liquidity. So it's a valuable. That's how spiritual things is. All the price that Jesus paid have become valuables in the spirit. And you can translate them to become things that can enhance your life if you know the conversion principle. Meanwhile, you know that the Romans only beat people 39 stripes. 39. Which is symbolic of 39 pathways of diseases. Right? So each stripe represents a pathway. And all of that is currency in the realm of the spirit. And it is existing for your advantage. But if you don't know the conversion principle, even though it is existing there, you'll not be able to tap into that value. So he says, take advantage of the Lord. And I don't have time here to show you everything that the death of Jesus did, the implication of his blood in the realm of the spirit, this and that. That's a long lecture. In fact, for like 21 days. What is not anything that you cannot study. So take advantage of the Lord. That's the instruction. And then take advantage of the power that is resident in his mind. He's talking about, you need to understand the implication of the current workings of the Holy Ghost on your life. Whereas the work of Jesus is in the past, the work of the Holy Ghost is in the present. The work of Jesus has accumulated value in the spirit based on the things that took place in the past. The work of the Holy Spirit is based on what he's doing now in your spirit man. So if you only know what Jesus has done and you don't worry about what the Holy Ghost is doing, you will still be defeated. I don't have time to work that. Next verse. For we wrestle not. Where is my computer man? Put on the whole armor of the Lord, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's the meaning of that? What's the meaning? Who knows the meaning? Be bold. Yes, I see you are interested. Yes, when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what does it mean?
We are fighting a devil within a person.
Okay, so my brother is saying that the enemy we're fighting is not physical. So the scripture is saying we're not in a physical fight. How many of you hold that interpretation? Stay with me. Is it Apostle Paul? Is it the same person that wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Or another person? And you can't answer that. The same person. Okay. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You see, my problem is this guy is not with me. He has his own time frame. When he wants, he just comes over and says, okay. So I want to find out this software. Is it so difficult to manipulate? All right. Let's believe that it's so difficult. And it's trying real hard. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. Give me 9:24 there. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. It means there's a way you can run because you don't want to obtain. That's why you're running like that. So he's advising us. He's not forcing you. It's a counsel. It's not an instruction. Run in such a way that you might obtain. Then he gives us an idea on how to run in order to obtain. He says, everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In some things?
All things.
Huh?
All things.
Oh, you are not with me?
All.
Okay, in Nigeria, there's something we call NUGA Games. Nigerian University Games Association. So all the campuses will bring their athletes together. All the campuses will bring their taekwondo experts together, their boxers, their high jumpers and all that. Until at the end of the games, they rate according to medals won. All right? So my campus knew that if it's in football, we don't stand a chance. So there was no need for us to send a football team. The area where we stood a chance was taekwondo. Taekwondo because we had this guy. He's as big as a giant. And they say his kick, if it should kick you, it may affect the alignment of your leg. So, and he was a black belt. I was full of himself. A giant. Big chest. So when he's moving like that, most likely. And meanwhile, our neighboring campus, they had a guy. The guy they had on our neighboring campus was the best in the last games. Okay? But when he went home on the long holiday, he ate so much pap and fish. And he came back. When they weighed him on the scale, his weight was above the weight that was required for the category. And when the coach saw that he was no longer in weight, what the coach did to him was to put him on 7 days dry fasting. Not for a crusade. Not for evangelism. Not for a rural mission, but for taekwondo. Because anyone that is striving for mastery must be temperate in all things. Your quest for spiritual mastery is going to make you temperate. Your talking will need to reduce. Your Facebook, it will affect it at some point. I know you live on Facebook. When you begin to grow wide in the spirit, the Spirit of God might require that you shut down Facebook. Because if it is mastery that you are striving for, you will have to be temperate in all things. It will affect every area of your life. It will affect your sleep. It will affect your eating. It will affect every single aspect of your being just because you strive for the mastery. So this guy went on 7 days dry fast. And after 7 days dry fasting, they put him on the scale and he was in the category. That was when they started giving him food. For him to begin to lift weights and to carry cement bags. He was striving for the mastery. Meanwhile, the guy on our own campus, he was going like this. I was privileged to watch their fight. The guy that came out of dry fasting, he was lean and was just unassuming at a corner. And when our own guy came, he was in like this. The guy from the other school, the way he started was by breaking our guy's leg. He broke. That big man cried from the field. Because he that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The next verse says that do this for a crown that is corruptible, but we incorruptible. And theologians believe that Paul wrote this piece of scripture in Athens during the Olympics. That was where he captured the idea of a Christian as an athlete. You can't be eating pap, eating cheese every day. In fact, you want to become a giant. You sacrifice your desire to be a spiritual giant on the table of pap. There's an anointing that can come upon you now. And when that anointing comes upon you, you will hate the smell of food. Because spiritual mastery will require temperance in all things. There are sometimes there's an anointing that can come upon you. You observe an oath of silence for days. People greet you and say, I say, are you not going out today? And the ones that are sensitive will just leave you alone. His voice has been taken. And he has to observe an oath of silence. It's an oath of silence that what's his name? Joshua had to observe while he was going around Jericho. The angel told him, you talk too much. Now keep quiet and walk around the wall. An oath of silence. Try it. You will discover you don't have the discipline to keep your mouth shut. Try it. Just for 2 days. Don't talk. Anybody? Just say. You will discover you don't even have the capacity. You can't keep your mouth shut. And you want to take missions. You want to take South Africa. You don't know the stage upon which you stand. And all the men from among your company whose name have traveled history were not men that lived for themselves, but men that sacrificed so that others can have a better life. Men like Abraham did not live for themselves. They earned 3 titles in the spirit, the friend of God, the father of faith, and the father of many nations. What is your own title? He that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Next verse is the real message. Yeah? Where are you? He said, I therefore so run not at all uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Yes? Next verse. 27, that's my emphasis. He said, I keep my body under. He said, I run, not as uncertainly. He said, what? I fight, not as one that beats the air. So how does he fight? I put my body under. I bring it into subjection. So if you're, where's my brother? What? You said that the meaning of that scripture is that we do not fight with flesh and blood at all. We only fight with spirit. That's not what it means. What it means, when it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, it means that if you have not defeated your own flesh and your own blood, you cannot fight spiritual warfare. Because that's what that's what he's fighting here. Say, I beat my body. He said, I run and I fight. Oh, you're not with me. You're not here. You have not yet conquered your appetite. You want to conquer Satan, that's a spirit. You have not yet conquered your sleep. Your sleep is your governor. Whenever sleep comes, on the parlor, in the kitchen, you sleep off. You sleep off with a blender in the kitchen. You have not yet conquered sleep. you want to conquer the demon of the Table Mountains. When he said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he's saying that people still wrestling with flesh and blood are spiritual babies. Don't expose them to spiritual warfare. It's when you no longer wrestle with flesh and blood, then you can face principalities. You can face powers. You can face the rulers of the darkness of this world. So where are you on the map? The map of the strong. Because the Bible says that he will share the spoil with the strong. Only the strong. He will give a portion to the great. And he will share the spoil with the strong. I want a number among the strong. So I must be temperate in all things. My sleep cannot be my governor, my Lord. Yes, he can be my Lord. It is good to start with the alarm of your watch, of your phone. That's the only reason why your phone is relevant, is the alarm to wake you up. Not those chatting that you are chatting with, all kinds of chat. Strange chat. I don't know how judgment will be in heaven, because if they put some people's chat on the screen... Chat. The names of our gods are many. So we need to strive for mastery. We need to strive for mastery. That's the way of the laborer. He's temperate in all. If you tell him, I will starve you with money, he can survive without it. I will starve you from sex, he can survive without it. I will starve you from food, he can survive without it. So Satan has no inroad. All his gates are blocked. Nothing from the environment can affect him. You can't bend his mind with philosophy. You can't make him feel inferior. Because his security is in God. Nothing things. Take his car away. He will still meet the rich young ruler and show him the way of the kingdom. Take away his account. Block it. You will find him in Alexander, and the whole land is bowing to Jesus. He didn't have a megaphone. He doesn't need some speaker. All he needs is God. And I tell you, we can go to the streets in one of our practicals. Take us to the busy streets. All I need is a deaf man on the streets, and I'll pray for him and he will hear. That will be my publicity. Oh, I don't need money. Drop me there in Alexander and go. Come back. After 7 days, you will meet us praying. You will meet us praying. We'll be praying. Even including the bad boys. All I need to do is to look for someone that they know that is really crippled. And I'll camp with him. What can your prayer do? Can he really do anything? Can he move the hand of God? Is it true? If you want to be that man that can move the hand of God, then you must be temperate in all things. Temperate. By the time you see the man walking, you want to find out by what means is he walking. Then you are giving me a platform for the gospel. And I know how to put it in your context, in your own language. If your language is Java, I can put the gospel in Java. Yes. Everyone must be compelled to look on the cross of Jesus Christ, if we have one strong man in our midst that has gained mastery in temperance. It's temperate. If just one among us is temperate, and he has gained mastery over his spirit. Many will turn to righteousness, whether they be drug lords, whether they be sangomas. My dream is to make a convert of a sangoma. That's my dream in South Africa. That a known sangoma becomes a follower of Jesus because of the labors that I brought to him. Yeah. That is what will go on Facebook for me. You will see me with sangoma where I say we believe in Jesus. Oh my God. 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 So he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly. My question before I begin to attempt to round up is that in which order of rank are those spirits mentioned? Is it in ascending order of rank or in descending order of rank? Because if you don't understand that, you can't understand diamonia. Who is coming to our rescue? Is it in ascending? What I mean is, are powers higher than principalities? Is it in ascending order of rank or in descending order of rank? So what you are saying is that principalities are the highest?
Spiritual wickedness okay, are the highest.
Let me hear you. What you are saying is that principalities are the lowest? Okay, Dr. Rodney is saying that principalities are the highest. How many of you hold this philosophy, this theological block?
Spiritual.
Yeah, principalities are what? The highest?
No.
No, no, let's just, they want to understand the theological block. Principalities are the highest. Okay, these are the members of that theological block, and their pioneer is Dr.
Rodney.
So how many of you say principalities are the lowest? How many of you you are not saying anything at all? Okay, stay with me, stay with me. Principalities are the lowest. I'll prove it. The highest is spiritual wickedness in the heavenly. You will notice that when they came back, there were two sides of the testimony. One side is that the daemonium was subject to us in your name. The second side is that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Spiritual wickedness is in the heavenly places, and Satan is one of those spirits in that category. They are the highest minions in the kingdom of darkness. That's the first thing I want to say. Are you there? So the ones that are territorial are principalities, powers, and rulers. So daemonium is in the category of rulers. That's the highest in the territorial scheme of things. Are you there? Now the next thing I need to do is to show you the scope of man's authority. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If I give you the scope of man's authority, then I will show you how to deal with daemonia. There are two types of daemonia. Serpents and scorpions. There are actually three types, but Jesus mentioned just two. So we'll stay on two. The number three is in the book of Acts. So we'll stay with Luke and show you two so that you go and find the one that is in. Come with me. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse. Let me look for my own Bible. Hallelujah. Please, at any point in time you feel your time is up, you are at liberty to leave. Just quietly, you take your things and leave. Some of us will remain on the mountain. When the deal is done, we'll go home. But if you need to go, we understand. Just take your things quietly, you move file out, and if we remember, we'll pray for you when we are. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 is the scripture that I'm looking for. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over, number one, that is aquatic, number two. You are speaking as if you are not sure. Be bold. Fowl of the air, that's atmospheric. Yeah? The earth, terrestrial. So we have the three scopes of man's authority, aquatic, everything in the river, including the sirens and the spirits of divination. You have power. Your authority covers that scope. Everything that is within the terrestrial landscape, and that's where witchcraft is, and all the other, the mountains and the wilderness and the caves, and everything that is atmospheric. But it doesn't go beyond the atmospheric realm. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places are not atmospheric, they are in the astral realm. And your authority doesn't cover the astral realm. And that was why it was Jesus himself that took care of the guys that were... Oh, you're not with me. Well, I just wanted to give you the information so that it will guide your spiritual warfare. You don't come to a place and then you are trying to battle with the spirit in the heavenlies. It's not your... It's beyond your pay grade. But when you begin to speak to God and speak with the Lord, then he gives commandments to angels, high-ranking angels. They are the ones that contend in that layer. Do you still remember the prayer of Daniel? Daniel was praying on earth. An angel was dispatched to bring feedback to Daniel, but the prince of Persia arrested Gabriel, put him in cell. Why? Because the prince of Persia is a prince by rank, but Gabriel was not an angelic prince by rank. And only a prince can bind a prince. So they had to send Michael, who is a prince. And it was Michael that came into the battle that released Gabriel from the prison. And Gabriel could go down to Daniel and to inform Daniel that he was actually praying amiss. The reason why Gabriel was not strong enough to survive is because the energy that Daniel was supplying was not, it was wrong. It was going in the wrong direction. So the angels say, I've come to give you skills and understanding. When we talk about priesthood, that's when I will tell you the meaning of skills and understanding. You know, the church has not, we have not been educating the body of Christ. We have not. Our gospel is, you have more houses. Amen. Are you not tired? I went to Malawi to teach, and a woman of 76 years old, after I finished teaching, she started crying. And I knew it was not the Holy Ghost. I was responsible for that. So I went to the mama. I said, Mama, what is happening? She said she's been a church girl since 12 years old. And this thing I'm teaching, she's just hearing it for the first time at 76. I didn't know how to comfort her. No wisdom on how to comfort the old woman. So the product we bring to South Africa is to educate the body of Christ. Yes, to educate anyone that really means business with God. We provide education, provide capacity building. And then when we have pressed a little in knowledge, we'll look for a time to pray. I pray people will be as many as this when we want to pray. I pray, it's a prayer. It's a prayer. We'll glide. We'll do 5 hours glide first. Just glide for 5 hours. Because your spiritual muscles must be developed. The idea is that everyone should be competent enough to deal with the demons in his space. So there are theoretical aspects of the training, and then there are times of to exercise your spirit. And let's see the energy that you can bring out of your spirit. That's when you will discover this is your sunglasses, this is your majestic glasses you are putting on. You won't need this when we are praying. You need to put it in your so that we can focus on the business for the night. So you see, I'm trying to show you that the scope of your authority doesn't cover the astral realm. We cover the atmospheric, the aquatic, and the terrestrial. So there are demons that are terrestrial, there are demons that are aquatic. And if we talk about demonology, the theology of demons, I will show you the different types, the way they operate, the way they manifest, the ones that can manifest in the office, the one that manifests in the village, the one that manifests in the family. You'll be able to identify it and diagnose the situation adequately before we teach you how to deal with them. But remember that if you are not willing to strive for the mastery and to become temperate in all things, we shouldn't expose you to the way of warfare. Only those that have conquered themselves can conquer the enemy. Principalities. That world is a compound world. It's a mixture of prince and polity. Polity means territory. It's the entity that secures the territory. It's the lead spirit in the demonic gang. Imagine. Let's assume that this book is a book from a library, and the subject that it treats is divination. And then you find it because of the cover, you like it. You pick it up and you begin to read it. And then they give you, after every chapter, you have a workbook, things you need to do in view of the knowledge you have received. So you do the first one, then you write how you did it. You read the second chapter. You have a workbook, practice, you do it and write and you practice, and you did the third one. But what you were not told is that if you can do it to chapter 4 and you practice what chapter 4 is requiring, you become possessed with the spirit of divination. There are many ways that spirits can enter. There are actually 12 demonic open doors, but we don't have time for that. Okay? So that demon that secures the person's space because of his attention to the demonic, the first demon that secures that space is the principality. Are you there? The principality knows that it cannot keep you in bondage for long. So it goes and looks for a power. What is power? Guess what? A power in rank is higher than a principality. But because it's the principality that secured that place, the power will operate under the authority of the principality. The principality is going to be the head of the demonic gang. Do you still remember Luke chapter 5, the madman of Gadara? And Jesus said, what is your name? It was only one spirit that was speaking. My name is Legion, because we are many. Even though there were many, there was only one spirit speaking. That's the principality, the one that secured the territory. Is always the head of the demonic gang. And by the time we take this, our explanation to the territorial landscape, it's a bit different. Because territorial demons don't speak. The impact of territorial demons is seen on the shape of the civilization. So he goes around and gets a power. In basic and elementary science, a power is the ability to do work. The rate at which work is done. So, in layman language, power is the ability to cause changes. So if he brings a power, and that power has an ability, fear is the power. Brings fear. And then when you want to go to church so that you'll be delivered from the hold of the principality will talk to fear and say, make the person afraid. Fear will now give you a dream. At the door of the church, you will see a serpent like this. In your dream. Then when you wake up, say, and you don't know that tricks are going on. That's the roadblock. And then fear puts that in your mind. And anytime you desire to go to the church, you are compelled to go by the Holy Ghost. The barricade that fear has put in your heart. So are you understanding the metrics? Okay, so you have gotten it. Let me stop there. Daimonion are not powers. They are magistrates. Those ones are more intelligent than powers. Those are the ones that give laws. They make laws. Let me ask you a question. Who in your village, in your tradition, in Limpopo, who is the one that in fact I have closed. Who is the person that gave the laws on what is required and how people are buried? Because if you go, you want to bury somebody in the village, they say, we don't bury people in the daytime. Where did that law come from? Diamonium. Oh, you don't know? Oh, okay. Let me not go to burial. You're already sober, so let's go to wedding. In Limpopo, who is the one that established the laws that govern traditional marriage? What determines the strength of the Lobola? Is it Lobola? Lobola. Who created those laws? The elders will tell you that's how we do it here. Diamonium. The Diamonium are so fused into society. They are the ones that create culture. They are so smart. The people will think that they are living the good life. They don't know they are living under the influence of the prescription of Diamonium. And part of what apostolic ministry is about is to deculturize people and make them citizens of the kingdom of God. That means you will disconnect them from the influence of those cultures that Diamonion has set in place. And that was why when those guys came back, they said, even the Diamonion were subject to us in your name. We went for a crusade. And we arrived at the crusade venue too early. It was 5 o'clock. We arrived at 4. We only saw little children playing around. So we called one and said, where are your people? He said, they are farmers. When would they come back from the farm? 7 o'clock. I said, are they not aware we have a crusade for 5? I said, they believe in their farming more than your crusade. So, nobody will come back by 5, but they will come back. That means we're too early. It's all right. Take me to the shrine. Let me see the priest. That kind of priest. Okay, that's the sangoma of the village. I said, you know, you pay costly calls to presidents, you pay costly calls to governors, to senators. Let us also pay a costly call to the sangoma of the entire village. And maybe while they wait time there, while we wait for the people to come back from the farm. So I went to visit. I was 36 years old then. I'm just giving you an idea. And the sangoma was 100 years old at that time. Very well experienced. So we took a stroll. It was very a long trek. And the moment we came, he was excited because he had sacrificed on the 22 altars of the village shrine. The spirits have accepted his sacrifice. He sang a song that is not in the music books. It was strange. Strange song. I did a little music. I understand the bass clef. I understand the treble clef. But his song, the song is outlawed. The tunes are outlawed. The rhythm was strange. That was how he gave ventilation to his excitement. And we came to the shrine. As we were approaching, he looked at us and said, "Who are you?" So I asked them to speak to him because I don't understand the language. "We come in peace." "Is there who sent you?" Then he pointed and he wanted to threaten us. I said, "Don't attempt threatening us because I will cut your hand, it will wither." So he looked for a way to manipulate the hand back to. No man ever challenges him. I said, "If the God that you are serving is so strong, why has he not delivered you from the pain on your chest that is 13 years old?" "Ah," he said, "you need a seat. You're welcome." He gave us a seat. So I sat down, he sat down. I told him where his powers were. They were under his bed. Under an iron box. In an iron box. Say, "Yes." "Say, your God has sight." I say, "Yes." "He doesn't only have sight, he also has the ability to save people." And then we began a discussion. And I read the Bible. When Simeon came to the temple to meet with Jesus, and Simeon said that this child is born for the rise and the fall of men, and it shall be a sign that many shall speak of this. And I began to describe, to interpret that scripture. And he was convicted. While I was talking, some other old men walked into the shrine, making their numbers 9. None of them was younger than 80 years old. I continued preaching. And they were cut to the heart. And they accepted Jesus. It took 3 hours of preaching. Their heart broke. And I forced them to renounce the spirits of the altar. 22 names. I've forgotten all the names. Then I raised them up. I said, "Live for Jesus. Die for Jesus." That's how I left them. Then we began to come down. At the time we're coming down from the shrine, it was 9 p.m. in the night. The villagers had come from their farm. Our praise and worship people were singing. The witches did not know that we have gone to the center of the mast of their witchcraft, and we shot the mast down. They didn't know. We came down for the crusade, and as the choir people were singing the songs of God, crippled people began to rise without prayer from their seat. 1, 2, 3. One was just sitting down. A force just took him up, and then he stood like this. And he was thinking, because I saw him. He was thinking, "Am I the one?" He was doing like this. I was watching him. It took 25 minutes for him to accept that he was standing. Then he took the first step, took the second step. Praise and worship. We had not started preaching. The witches that bound him in the coven saw him walking. And they ran from the crusade crowd. We stopped the crusade. We followed them. They ran to the highway. And in order for God to be glorious, he made cars to forget that road that night. And we conducted deliverance on the road. Witches. I've never seen that sight before. The closest I've seen to that sight was what I saw in Malawi. That was how the land, the harmonium, fell. And the name Jesus became more popular than the name of the local demons. I was 36 years old. When I was 27 years old, I went to a village. Why did I come to that village? I went, there's one guy, a rich guy, he's my friend. His house is in a city close to the city where my school, my university was. So if I want to fast, I go to his house. He gives me a room. He's quiet. So I pray and commune with God. After 3 days, I go back to school. And the Holy Spirit woke me up one morning and said, tell that man is in trouble. Tell him that I have solved the trouble. I left school because those days we didn't have these phones. So I traveled to his place and said, the Lord said I should tell you, the problem you have is solved. And he told me 3 days ago, I'm sorry, I apologize. I did not come instantly when he told me this. He held my hand. He didn't say yes or no. He just held my hand and took me inside. There was one guy standing there. Then he said, talk. And the guy said, they sent him from the village that his mother just died. I said, please wait. I went to that my room where I pray and fast for 1 hour. I came out and I told him, your mother is alive. Hey! The man from the village said, she died. I said, she is alive. So the person we're talking to, we don't know who to believe. So what he did was that he put us in a car and drove us to the village. Is that not how to verify this? Are you with me? Oh my. I'm rounding up. Stay with me. We came to the village. People were gathered around the house. And normally that's what happens when somebody dies. So I now began to doubt what I heard. How will I talk to this man? I now started looking for a scripture with which to defend myself, just in case. We came into the sitting room, we saw the elders, old men with walking stick. They spoke their language and nobody interpreted to me. We came into the second inner room, old women. They spoke and nobody told me what they were saying. We entered into the woman's room and she was alive on the bed. She said she died. And her spirit went to the land of the dead. And there was a well. People were inside of the well. They called her, come down. And she was there for 3 hours. She knew that that well was not a good place. So a force came and took her and brought her into her body. He now asked her, when did this force come? They checked the time. It was when I went to that room to pray. They did not tell me. They were speaking in their language. They did not tell me. The man held my hand. He brought me outside and shared the testimony in their language. I was the only one that didn't know what he was saying. The whole village gathered before he now told me all the things they were saying in their language. So they believed that I was the one that raised the woman from the dead. And the The villagers came to see the person that raised the mother from. The platform was created. I preached the best gospel message in my life that night. And an entire village gave their life to Christ. For even the demonium was subject to us. Amen. So I close the curtain there. Now, I want to release power. So that people can be healed. People can be delivered. I want to release power so that people can be empowered. To go out and to bring the demonium to obedience. The hand of God will be strong upon you tonight. And just in case witches have been trailing you, wizards have been on your case. You've been seeing fire and darkness, people chasing you in your dreams, all kinds of things happening. You try to do business, it fails. You try to invest, you were scammed. And you are wondering what else to do. You have come to the house of God, and the hand of God will come upon you. Hey! Hey! Oh my God. If you are still here, it's time for us to begin to ascend in the Holy Ghost. He wants to make you a laborer. One that is equipped with the ability to bring changes into the territory. Oh my God. Exercise your spirit. Because you will never go back the same. I coveni hasteli kobonze lahabo. Endomina saiko santelia. Kizo zela kabra habalaite. For he that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Give me the grace to govern my appetites. I want to be a master over my appetites. Make me strong by the Holy Ghost. Yaboteli mokuria santori. Yamamasi kobrenda. Estoma laiko selande. Yemamoko rabatike debo. Yaino bosemi naile. Oni alabobo santori. I costa malada. Quando meni astico brante cabolo cosche. E allo vasselia brante cabonde babaca santalia. E esco de bocoria, sica preminaite. Ambulese che macandoria. Ehi! Mambo bobo santelia. Ila babo santoria. Ila lolo bo santeli. Ai copemina. Oh, mamma. Robe Massile! Thank you. Jesus. The fruit of the womb. Show me your hand like this. Okay, you are not many. Come. Come here. Come here. Let's start with you.
I expect only women now. Men too. Wonderful. See, if the men add now, the number will be too much. Oh. Life that is coming into this place. That river, nothing can resist it. It's already flowing, and it will begin to sweep across this auditorium. There is a river that is coming. It's the river of the Holy Spirit. It's the river of God, and it's beginning to flow. It's beginning to flow. Every Malia Sakai, my mind of honorable. Coffee se Campbellite Toba. Ready, Sami. It's a river of God. Now, those of you here, I see you have a genuine music ministry. So I will ask the Lord to anoint you so that your rank can increase. And the fire of God will come upon two of you. Great fire. Great fire. Great fire. Great fire. Great fire. Father, Father, increase their ministry. Increase their ministry. Increase their ministry. Increase their ministry. Increase their rank. Increase their rank. Increase their rank. In the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that the anointing that will be come on their music ministry, let the anointing come on their ministry. Come on their ministry. In the name of Jesus, that your mighty hand might be released, so that these ones will sing your glory. Okay, wait. I believe I've touched all of you. Okay, I will pray now. Because my hand is upon you. The sign that God has answered my prayer is that fire will come on five women. If you see that sign, it is as good as you will have your baby. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you open the heavens. Release babies for these women. Release babies for the men that are standing for their wives that maybe are not present here. But release babies and put joy on the faces of your people. If you have heard my voice, I ask that you answer by fire. And let your fire descend upon five of these women. Let your fire descend on five of them. The fire is coming now. It's already coming. One, two, three. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Lord, if you have answered us, answer by fire on five women. You have responded on two. Okay, it's coming again. 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 Fire. That the fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord is coming so strong. Okay. Yes, so he has given us five women. It's five women. I see that one of you has the grace of a prophet. He has the grace of a prophet. And right now, the fire of God will come upon that woman that has that grace. It will come so powerfully. One, two, three, four, five, six. What do you want? Escoprima ingo balato. Bris ofele bogo. Mais kaboshi ebrema kabula. Shima brasketo moko bela ike taminaila. Bebro ombe skibo bombolo siko bega dile. Melis kombra kabuska bebina kulia. Ha! Rejoice! Meria sobe. Abrae koma. Abrae kaskeba londe. Izoze la migaya. No, don't touch that drum. Ooh.
I see a pastor. This pastor is female. You began a ministry, and since the moment you began that ministry, you have been having serious attacks. I saw a coven of darkness. Your case was taken to a coven because of the disturbances that you were creating in the neighborhood. You are a female pastor. If that female pastor is here, come. The Lord has instructed me to release an anointing on your life. Go back to the same place, and the powers in that place will not be able to stop you. Don't join these women if you don't have a ministry. And the word I gave doesn't describe your situation. Don't join them. Because the anointing will only come on those, Father, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I ask that you release the oil, 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 the oil. The oil, the oil, the oil, the oil, the oil, the oil. For the crown of her head, the soles of her feet. If she is among the people you are talking about, release the oil from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet in the name of Jesus. Isomeni ekoria, babambres kopoko dehile. Sante mo ebana. Rumbi katki do bes orela hapedula. Ama hadelo. Ama halebo. Ua peski do mondele. Rai komala. Edaski to bre. Weep no more. Weep no more. Weep no more. For the day of your strength is come, says the Lord. Weep no more for the power of the prayers that you have rendered. We come to you manifold. Weep no more for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. He. Your name. So now you can be healed of any sickness, from HIV, from cancer, from anything. So can you make a request? If you need healing, make a request now. Take the HIV away, take the cancer away, take the tumor away, take the fibroid. Oh, Shaboko Beni. Talk to him now, because I will pray. I will pray in the name of Jesus. Now, so congratulations to you. By the time we come next year, you bring the children. Okay. Go back. Bring the children. Bring the children. Bring the children. Bring the children. By the time you come next year, bring the children. Bring them. If I say in the name of Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
I'm seeing a baby that somebody brought here, and that baby is having so many challenges. Can you bring the baby? Because the Lord has instructed me to lay hands on the baby. And a process of recovery will begin from this night. And in a short while, we will have a testimony. But bring the baby to me. Bring the baby. I see the baby.
Bona umntwana if ulethe umntana noyagula una ma challenges letha umntana wazomthandazela manje.
I see the baby in the spirit.
Bona from the rise of the sun to the city, don't weep of the sin. Your name is to be hallowed. And from the rising of the sun to the city, I bring you life. That everything that is dead on your body jump back to life. Jesus says, I should give you life. So let life take over your legs. Let life take over your body. Life I bring in Jesus' name. Ooh.
Yeah, your son lives. Your son will be okay. Do me a favor, can you lift just the right hand?
Oh.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, behold your people. We want to be laborers in your field, men that you will count as men that you can trust to extend the frontiers of your kingdom. Forgive us our sin. Purge us and cleanse us. But by all means, arm us with power and with authority to bear witness for you in the places that you have domiciled us. Oh, let champions rise from our midst. Let grace be given unto your people. That the land will hear the voice of the triumphant as we go to do your will in different lands. Cause the least among our numbers to become as strong as David. And let no weapon formed against us be able to prosper. For those that came from other nations, from Mozambique, the powers of Mozambique will not be able to resist you. And by the time we converge again next year, you will say indeed that even the demonium was subject to us. In your name. So let it be written, and so let it be done. So now I rebuke cancer. 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 Die. Cancer. Die. Cancer. Die. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke fibroid and I rebuke asthma. Asthma, die in Jesus' name. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. I destroy the power of delay over the lives of the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Paralysis, I arrest you. Come out of their bodies in the name of Jesus.
That woman that is not able to sleep, I arrest that spirit. It's a spirit of restlessness that has come to torment you. I break that yoke upon your life in the name of Jesus. I command the migraines to go. I command the pains to leave. I command the eyes to see. I command the ears to hear. I command the lame to walk. Ooh, the wounded be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that were hot in your soul, receive the river, the anointing of healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lose your hold, you spirit of darkness. Lose your hold in the name of Jesus. Lose your hold in the name of Jesus. Lose your hold in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. So the healings have begun. The healings will continue until 12 midnight. Yeah, it will continue. But few will take place here. More will take place on your way home. Many more when you sleep. Tomorrow morning you will just discover. So we will, by the time we are doing the morning service tomorrow, we'll get more testimonies. But I want to take three. So check your body, check your hearing, check your sight, check the pain, check the tumor. The tumor. Look for it. If you know you have a testimony, you come this way. Everyone sit down for 3 minutes. I'll be done. Why are you people here? You are late. No. You don't come when you want to come. You were downstairs. Okay. You, where were you? Downstairs? No. You came when you wanted.
My daughter is going to have an operation Monday.
You know that I'm a messenger. So I'm not very powerful. My boss is the one that's powerful. And you need to obey him in order for me to be able to work with you. So I will ask him if he's still on this matter. Check your body. If you notice that there is a change, you can see, you can hear, the pain has gone, the tumor has disappeared. But check it first. When you check and confirm, you go that way. This is the rule. If nothing happens, say nothing. If something happens, don't keep quiet. That's the rule. We'll take like three. Then I will ask God to release power on you. Then I'll run away. Tomorrow, we'll meet here.
If nothing happens,
what's the problem?
If kuna meshuko e bodini yako izaki mi manje.
Don't worry, we'll do something about it. So where's your daughter? She's at the hospital. All right, so I will use you as a point of contact, Father. Your child is possessed. Do you know that? You don't know. Okay, I will confirm it. I will show you. There are two people that are healed already. Two are healed.
Already.
Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Touch that lady in the hospital. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let the yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know where you took this child when the child was small, but Father, let the power of devils break in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
So what will happen this night, and I want you to come and tell me tomorrow. She will sleep too long and wake up. Okay. Tomorrow, come and tell me.
Your name is to be heard.
Come.
From the rising of the sun.
This, your glasses are there, medicated. And how long have you used them?
Since 2019.
2019. Okay, so you help me. You can hold it with this hand. Let me do something. Give her sight.
From the rising of the sun.
Yes, where's my brother?
Okay, fine. Sitting of this.
The miracles will continue as you go home. We just want to take a few. Some you will sleep and wake up, the thing has gone. Yes. No, don't just run away. Go and test the eye. Eh? Anything you could not do, if you could not read, check, go and check. You have 2 minutes to do your test. Then I will come back to you. Okay?
I had a lump on my breast.
You had a lump on your breast?
Yes. It's completely disappeared.
The lump, yes. So. You, come. That's the first thing that Jesus told me, that you will take a lump away. First thing. It means you have been chosen. I need to find out what he wants me to give you.
Ooh,
just stand there. Did you check for it?
Yes, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone.
If we are able to get our visas, we'll be back here in December. If we don't come, it means we were not given the visas. Okay. I want to hear your testimony that the diamonium, they were subject to you in his name. For those of you that are in the front lines in ministry, I want to hear that testimony. Because from tonight, this night, for many of you, you'll begin to have prophetic dreams. I know you don't know what I'm saying, but let me show you some signs. The angel of the Lord is on this roll, huh? Then his hand will come. So I know what I'm talking about. There are things, it's just that I can't tell you. You need to experience it to believe, if not, to look strange. And my friend from Kenya, come. Go back with more authority. The land will hear your voice. Your business will flourish, it will increase, and you will glorify the Lord. So tell me, what do you want? Just one thing.
I want my business to grow.
You want your business to grow?
Yes.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you release an anointing to expand our financial influence. That from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, let your mighty hand come upon her. Oh my God. Kovestami afai kopre afamine figabasto abamos kovela ikobai to santo. Bokorandeli. Pariko stand. Jacob, come. Have you tested your eyes? Is there any improvement? Just tell me the way it is. Because my desire is to make sure that you go home seeing. And I will not stop until you see. So come. If there's no improvement, just stand here. If there's no improvement, just be reporting the state. All right? Nothing happened. No problem. I choose that you will go home with your sight. That is my choice. Okay? Yes. Where's my... Mike, why are you moving? Jesus! Don't move.
I had a lamp here. And then when... after praying, I checked it. I hold here. I checked it here, and then it was still here. But then when she gave the testimony of her lamp, when I touched here, it's reducing. It's not like before. Yeah.
The lamp. Is it a lamp?
Yeah.
It's reducing.
Yes, come. It's reducing.
Come. The anointing is on you. So let the power flow through her body and take away the lump. And take away anything that you have not... Oh my God, it's coming. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. So look for it again. Look for it.
I had a pain here.
It's resistant. Yes. You stand there, yes?
I had a pain here.
What's that pain?
Yeah.
For how long have you had that pain?
Since last year.
Since last year. What happened? You had an accident?
No, I fell and I didn't respond last year, October. I wasn't responding to anything. I wasn't talking. I wasn't moving. And while I was in that state, I felt like my spirit was coming out.
Okay.
And I prayed. But I prayed inside.
In your heart,
because
yeah?
Because I couldn't
speak. I know that.
While I was praying, I could hear other people praying for me.
Oh my.
So I felt my spirit coming back.
Coming back.
And then at least I could, this hand... I could only do this.
Do like this, okay.
Yeah. And I started trying to open my eyes. And that's when my mom just said, let me take you to hospital. And... What happened? I had this pain.
On your head?
Yeah, always when it comes, it gets me dizzy. But when you started praying,
the pain left.
Left.
Come. Now, you will live. So from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, we ask that perfectness come to her. Perfectness. Breathe upon her. Breathe life. 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 In Jesus' name. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Now, what? Why did you bring him? What happened? She had a lump. The lump is disappearing. Now, you see, where is my cameraman? How was it before? How was
it?
A bone was growing there.
Yeah.
And it's going down. Can you see that spot?
Yeah. More than 4 years.
So this is a creative miracle. The stuff. It's going gradually. It's going gradually. It's not instant. Can somebody give Jesus a big hand? You say it's been for like 4 years?
Yeah. More
like
than
4 years?
4 years.
Jesus.
She was playing that bully and a leg.
Okay, the leg just did that.
That thing started growing. Now it was so hard. They couldn't see what was the problem. But as we have been praying, it's going down slowly.
Will you preach the gospel? You. Will you preach? Will you preach the gospel? No, I want a good answer. Just tell me what you... Okay, let me leave you. Because what I had to give you is only for gospel people. So the Lord bless you. Yep, you can go.
Yes, sir. When I came here, my skin was itchy because I've been having serious challenges with myself.
I can't hear you.
He says when he came here, his skin was itchy. He's been having problems with his skin. With my health. My health is not doing well. And then I went to different hospitals. And most of the time, they don't really tell me what's wrong. But when I went to Indian, they said I'm affected with HIV because that's why my skin is itchy.
So you say he went to different doctors and then they told him he's affected with HIV, hence his skin is itchy.
That's why his skin is itchy.
Yes,
so his skin is still itchy.
When I came here, it was itchy, but now it's no longer itchy.
Now, after 2 days, today is Saturday, after 2 days, Sunday, Monday, go and run the test. Wait. Run the test and...
Yeah, I had a chest pain. Ice cold chest pain.
Yeah.
And I had an attack.
Okay.
And then I started...
Yeah, you are free now.
I started feeling like I'm getting a heart attack.
Heart attack, okay. Then, stop pain there.
Then the pain was in my chest.
Okay.
And it continued until the whole of today it was there.
It was there, okay.
But now, after you prayed,
yeah,
I breathed, it's no longer there.
Okay, you can't find the pain. So from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, let the arrow on your chest, let its power be neutralized. Neutralized. In the name of Jesus.
Yes? Okay, my issue is having migraines.
Wait. Come. You must go home singing. It's not the Lord's choice, it's my choice. I choose them. That you will. Yes?
Okay, in my case, I've been plagued with migraines.
You had a problem with migraines?
Yes.
Okay.
When you declared the word, when you're praying, yeah, I heard the cracking sounds.
Cracking sounds on your head?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I was yawning
yawning a few times, okay.
Many times.
So what was happening was that a demon had you in a hammerlock. You know wrestling? There's something they call hammerlock.
Okay.
So a demon had you in a hammerlock, so it was displaced.
Amen.
That's the reason for the migraine and all of that.
Huh?
Can you give him a big hand, Jesus?
So I had chest pains, and the pains were piercing through the spine. So when praise and worship was taking place, I was like, God, please heal me, because it was painful, it was making me feel uncomfortable. So when you prayed, you and you said, Sam, I healed, I started shaking, but I was...
You can't feel the pain?
No, I can't feel the pain.
Yeah, okay. That's like ulcer? That's ulcer? Okay. Can you hold this? This one is it? For fashion? Oh, this is for fashion, okay. Now, let me tell you something.
It will not change instantly, but it will change in 3 months. Alright. Give us sight. 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 Take away the... And give us sight. Okay.
My vocal cord was, I had an attack on my vocal cord.
Okay.
I had a disagreement with a friend who went for settlement. After the settlement, I just realized that I couldn't use, I'm a teacher, so my vocal cord was attacked.
Lost the voice.
Yes, so, and...
It was your job they wanted to take, so they...
So I wanted to see, so my plan was to see a doctor on Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah, but I told myself, no, before I go see a doctor, let me come and see Dr. Jesus first.
You want to see Jesus. So now, what do you want us to do to die your friend? I'm more interested. Sorry, that's how I was given some authority in those areas. Yes, to... as a law enforcement agent, to bring discipline to wicked people. So tell me what you want.
I just leave him to the mercy of God.
Let's leave him. Okay. It's all right. So we commit him to the mercy of Jehovah.
So he said when he swallows saliva, he used to feel pain, but now the pain is gone, he can swallow.
Yeah, no, you're good. I know. Okay, it was like you were becoming paralyzed,
yes.
Half of your body. Yes. Did you feel the pain, the power of God on your body? Be healed, be restored, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, last one.
I've got a head cyst. They said I had cyst on the left kidney and one on the liver.
One on the liver, one on the left kidney.
On the left kidney, yes. Okay. And while we're here, when we came in, the pain was still persisting.
Okay, the pain was persisting.
Yeah, the pain. Yeah.
By the side?
Yes, it was persisting and okay. Was hurting. Yeah, but after the worship, it took a while though. But then it ceased.
It ceased?
Yes, it ceased.
Is it still there? Look for it, don't worry. Check for it. The oil is still available. So if it's there, we'll attend to it. This no. Jesus Clinic. This Jesus Clinic. Yeah, look for it.
Just a bit.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Leave your hand where the pain is. Leave it. Just leave it. I ask for your healing power to flow to him. In the name of Jesus. So remove the hand. Look for it now.
And it's not there.
You can't feel it again?
Yeah, I can't feel it.
Okay. Come. So check now. Check your eyes. It's better. It's much better. See? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I touch you? You will not need any surgery. Go and sit down. So for all of us, the ministers of the gospel, there is an empowerment that the Lord brings to you. You will not feel anything. You may not even believe that something came until you go to the field. Right?
Amen.
So I'll just pray a simple prayer. You may feel something, you may not feel. But don't go for the feeling. Just go by faith and receive. For those of you that travel, you cross borders to come here, you will not go empty-handed. For those that had to take a flight to join us, it was not convenient to spend so much. This meeting will be remembered for a memorial. Those of you in the labors of the Lord, and you are doing what you are doing, nobody knows you, you are not popular, sometimes it's frustrating, be encouraged. That's the way of the laborer. If you are really laboring and you are taking cement blocks and climbing a story building for build, you won't like someone to snap you in that state and put it on Facebook. Laboring makes you dirty. It's not something that someone wants to be identified with. But God sees. And the Lord will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The sun is rising over South Africa afresh. The hand of the Lord will be on your elections. I think it's next year. Next year. Yes, because the sun is rising over the face of South Africa. The land will go through a process of rebirth so that new things, unprecedented things, can begin to pass through her gates. So as a congregation, we stand in faith to overthrow the demonium that has kept the land in perpetual captivity. We stand in faith with everyone, a messenger of Jesus Christ that is in this place, and we speak over the nation of South Africa. Your redemption comes. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, be thou lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, he shall come. The mountains shall be made low. The valleys shall be elevated. The tongue of the rivers shall be cut. The stones shall be gathered out. And only one will be exalted. Because the oaks of Bashan, the cedars of Lebanon, will be humbled. Only one will be seen. His Majesty, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Ride over the land of South Africa. And let your mighty name bring healing to her people in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the weak be strengthened. Let the depressed be empowered. Let them that mourn be given a garment of rejoicing. Oh, let the spirit of heaviness depart from her soul. For the time has come, and indeed now is that time, where the voice of the Lord will be upon many waters, and the voice of the Lord will break the cedars of Lebanon. All the cedars, human beings that have entrenched themselves in the territory, that have not allowed the Lord's will to come to pass. Roar from your holy mountain, oh Prince of Peace, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let a little one become a thousand. Let a small one become a strong nation. Though thy beginning be small, thy later ends are greatly increased. For had thou not known, had thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is never weary, and there is no stretching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. So let it be written, and so let it be done. In Jesus' name.